Right, so I think we can start. So Ben from CodeTech will talk about Linux risk, getting late, Linux bug hunting, the risk file. Well.
Yep, so hi, welcome. This is talk about, let's say, RISC-V Linux bug hunting. We're going to go with a couple of bugs we found while working on RISC-V, how we went through. Go through this down there. So we'll go through looking into the bugs, how we fix them. Some of the techniques we use aren't specifically RISC-V, but we thought let's be relevant to the topic. So a little bit about me. So I'm a senior engineer and fellow at CodeThink since 2012. I work on mostly Linux, QEMU type things. So, nice little context, slideshow. Let's say introduction. This is going to be a tale of two bugs, and I sort of threw a bonus one in, which is similar to one of the other ones. While I said in the description of this talk we were going to do this out debuggers, we are going to use a debugger for one, and I promise no live demos, because we know how all those go. We will also learn, hopefully, a little bit about the RISC-V architecture. So the first one, I think this is chronologically the first one we found, is a kernel user access bug. So we'll start with the bug report. So if you know that there is a testing system called SYZBot that goes through a number of different architectures. It's an automated system which looks for bugs with like things like stress testing. And we got this bug report on the mailing list about a user space process causing a kernel oops. Now, obviously, user space processes shouldn't be causing kernel oopsies. So this is running kernel stress test. I have a little bit of the first part of the bug report of the oops there. I'll show some more about this. So kernel actually provides quite a lot of information about what happens when things go wrong. This is not the old days where you'd be lucky to get the registers and then possibly some weird guru meditation fault and you really didn't know what was going on. We at least have now some good inbuilt Linux debugging. So this is output. So it starts with, at the top, well, it's telling you what happened. So, and this is a very specific error report. So it's not like it tried to access some memory that didn't exist. This is the kernel trying to get access to user memory improperly. We get the information about what CPU it was on, which process was running. We get some information about what hardware. So this information is easily passed around to people to say, if you're looking at it, what was going on here? We get information about what the build was. And then after that, we can see information about where in the kernel the code was running. So the EPC is basically where the processor core was executing. So we know it's in schedule tail. There's a return address, so it tells you where it came from, so you can look at how it was called. And then we get register dump, which I've sort of curtailed for space reasons. And we've got some very nice projectors here, but even that, I think people would be straining to read anything lower. And we have information about the processor core status. So that tells you a little bit about what the core hardware is reporting, such as status bits, the actual bad address, and a cause info. So you can go back into the hardware ISA manual and go, this is actually what it meant, if you would like to. You get a call trace, assuming that information wasn't mangled, because occasionally bugs, if you call into bad code, not always will you get that info. So you get quite a lot of information. So actually, can we go from this information to actually go through and work out what happened? So the basics of this, well, this is a very specific type of bug. So if people know and written device drivers, the kernel is not meant to go randomly wandering through the user memory. This is obviously usually a sign of some problem happening. So RISC-V, like some other architectures, has protection for that. So the kernel has specific copying functions to access user memory. There's checks in to check that that's properly used. So for example, the kernel has a copy to user, put user, get user. Those are where the kernel should be getting its memory. So one thing we could think about for this bug is that somebody used a bad pointer somewhere. So for example, just to go into this feature a little bit more, each CPU core has a status control status register with a flag called SUM in it. SUM stands for permit supervisor to user memory. When this flag is set, it obviously allows it. If it isn't set, then you get this specific fault. So we can also say that this fault isn't looking at a bad memory page, because that memory page must exist to be able to know it's a user page. So it's not somebody passed a bad pointer in and the kernel couldn't see it at all. So we have the basics. We know that how this bug is happening. The report also gives us the kernel git ref and config used to build it. So we can go away, build the same binary, so we could either look into the binary code, make a test system of our own and rerun it, because one thing we haven't really known here is whether this is actually reproducible on real hardware. Could it be a bug in QEMU itself? I mean, we haven't really looked into whether that could be the case. However, we were going to do a reproduction case on, say, I think it's going to be a RISC-V, one of the Sci-Five Freedom machines, but I don't think we ever actually got around to it, because when we started looking into the code, we decided, look into the code, we can read the assembly output. I mean, it's not always possible to reproduce exactly the same binary, but we can fairly, hopefully, get to something fairly close. So, we being of old school type of debuggers think that, you know what, let's not even try. And on this case, the bug was so intermittent, which is another thing that we can say is information into our bug hunting, is that we're not really going to get a lot out of attaching a debugger to this, because it's happening every few hours. We're going to be looking for a lot of data. So we're going to go, firstly, we can disassemble the code, because we obviously love our RISC-V assembly stuff. And we can go and look at the code and say, actually, what's happened here? So we can take the bug report and go back to the code. So we're going to use the GNU obj dump. We can dump the code out, look at roughly where it was. So we can use the output from the UPS to go and look at the schedule tail function here. Obviously, there's a lot of information removed just to make this clear. So I've highlighted in the bold area the use the access code. Just as a note, the kconfig allows you to add a lot more debug information into the objects. So by default, I don't think it turns that on, but it allows you to do things like cross-reference these instructions to roughly where they were produced in the source file. So in here we have schedule tail is fairly simple function, and the only place it actually looks to go into the user is if this current pointer is set. So if this pointer is set, it's doing something when it schedules. And on the code here, we can show that that's the area of code roughly relating to the put user. So we've read through that and go, well, that's fairly simple. So actually, what is this code doing? So I'll go through a little bit of actually what the code is doing, so we can actually work out whether the code is right or not. And actually then, okay, is where we crashed where we think it is. So first thing, we load the S2 register with the sum bit, which we can verify from the ISO is correct. I mean, if this wasn't correct, really we wouldn't have a working system at all. Well, sorry, going back, if the put and get user code was not correct in the first place, it would be very unlikely we ever get